Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
What's up, Wave Young Adults? Before you take your seats, just stay standing with me just for a second. I'm so glad that you chose to be here tonight. Because I truly believe that as we gather under the name of Jesus, that we don't have to leave the same. But tonight, we can see God move in such a way that can mark us for the rest of their lives. I pray that you didn't come just to play church tonight. I pray that you didn't come just to go through the motions, because I believe that every single person under the sound of my voice, God has a word for you. Not because of my preaching, because my preaching isn't that great, but because I'm going to be sharing out of the Word of God. Tonight, God wants to encourage you. Tonight, God wants to remind some of you about the God dream that He spoke to you long ago. Tonight, God wants to put things in your life and in your heart that no one can take out. So before I preach, before I get this started, we're just going to pray. And if you're open, if you're hungry for God to move, if you really want to see all that He has for you, can you just lift your hands one last time and we're going to pray. Jesus, we love you. We are so thankful for who you are. We are so thankful for what you have done for us. And Jesus, I pray tonight, God, that you would use my words to speak directly into people's lives. God, I pray people would leave full of you. Jesus, I thank you that you are a good God. God, I thank you in advance for people making decisions for you today. Jesus, we give you this entire night in your name. Amen. Amen. You can take your seats, and on your way down, turn to your neighbor and say, "Why not me?" Say, "Why not me?" So if you don't know who I am, if we haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Luke Martin Llewellyn, the first of my name. I am the young adults pastor here. I am also the community groups pastor here. I got a dual role, two hats, two chains. And I love being on staff here. I have a wife. I've been married for 7.5 years. I met her. I know, it's pretty exciting. I met her when I was a junior at Cox High School. I saw her across the lunchroom. I liked it, so I went and sat on her lap. 15 years later, that's a true story. 15 years later, she is my wife, and I love her. We have a 2-year-old named Levi, who is the absolute apple of my eye. And I always told myself, I'm never going to be one of those parents that like shows people pictures when they don't ask for pictures. Like, you guys know those parents, how annoying they are? They always just throw up pictures and put pictures in your face of their kid because they think their kid is like the cutest kid ever. I didn't send those pictures in to be put up. But that's my son, Levi. I love him. He's sophisticated. He drinks out of cups. And if you're a parent, you know that that's pretty impressive. Only 99% of that water made it on the table. But that's who I am. And tonight I'm going to share on the topic of why not me. I'm going to be sharing out of the scriptures in Luke 5. I believe personally, I can't back this up with many facts, but I believe that Luke is the best gospel. For obvious reasons. But I'm going to read it, and if you didn't get your Bible plan in today, don't worry about it. I got your back. I'll read your Bible plan for you. But it's in Luke 5, verse 17, and it says this. It says, "One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, 'Friend, your sins are forgiven.'" We're going to jump down to verse 24. He continues and said, "But I want you to know the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Second verse I'm going to read, and I'm just going to read them both at the beginning, and then we'll come back and we'll do a little reference, and then I'll do a bibliography at the end. MLA format. Matthew 11, verse 28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." There's so much to like about this story. I'm sure if you've been in church for longer than like 2 months, you have probably heard someone preach about the story of the four guys picking up the man and dropping him through the roof. Well, lowering him through the roof. Got to be careful there. I got into Luke Llewellyn's gospel, not Luke's gospel. But you've heard this story preached, and there's a lot to love about this story, quite frankly. You could preach from so many different sides, but what I love most about this story and what stands out most to me, and this is not part of my message, this is just a sidebar for you, it is so important who you connect yourself with. It is so important who you surround yourself with, because we live in a world that has never been more connected and at the same time never been more disconnected. We've never had more friends and followers and likes in the social world, but then less people who actually know who we are. And in your life, if you want to see God do all he has for you, you need the people in your life that are willing to take you to the feet of Jesus when you don't feel like it. You need the people in your life who are willing to fight for you when you don't feel like fighting. The people who are willing to praise with you when you don't feel like praising. The people who are going to pick you up for church when you don't feel like going to church. The people who are going to be there for you no matter where you find yourself. You need those people. That's why we talk about community groups every single week. We don't just talk about it because we want the numbers, because then it makes us look good and we can say we have this many small groups. No, we talk about it because you need the right people in your life. If you don't surround yourself with the right people and the right friendships and the right relationships, you will never see God do all he can in your life. And maybe you're in here and you're like, "I've been in a CG and I didn't get that connection. I didn't get those friends." Can I encourage you? Try again. CGs are led by people. People make mistakes. Maybe you didn't connect with that CG. Just try again. After this service, we're going to go to Barrel 17 on 17th Street. They have wonderful burgers. Come out, hang out, get around people. You need people in your life. That's a sidebar. But tonight I want to talk to you from this. So I don't want to talk about the four guys. That would be basic of me, wouldn't it, Jordan? No, not basic. I don't want to talk about the four guys. I don't want to talk about the paralytic man. I want to talk about the people in the room that didn't see their miracle. I want to talk about the people in the room that showed up on time, that were closer to Jesus, who didn't see their miracle that day. People who could have had similar struggles, been walking through similar issues, been walking through issues that could have been just as serious as this man, yet maybe they didn't see God move in their life like they hoped. Can we assume that if this room was packed, it was the original house party, there was no room to go in, there was no room to leave? Can we assume that not every single person got what they were looking for? But we read in this story that one guy who was paralyzed got picked up. He cut in line, which was like the cardinal sin in middle school lunchroom. He cut in line, and he got more than what he was looking for. Not only did he get salvation, but he got healing. And we read in this story, at the end of the story, it says that everyone left in awe. I don't know if maybe I'm a pessimist. I don't know if maybe I have a negative bias. I find it hard to believe that every single person that was at that house party left stoked. Like, you're telling me that someone showed up on time, wearing the right stuff, in the right spot, came through the right door, didn't have to go through the roof, didn't see their miracle, and they left and like, "Oh, praise God. I didn't get what I was looking for, but thank goodness somebody did. You know, I didn't get my healing, but somebody did, so it's okay. We're going to have a good one. I'm in awe." I don't know if you read the story like I read the story. I read the story, and there were some people that left disappointed. I went through the right doors. I wore my prophecy shirt. I wore my cloak. I was in the front. I was saying hallelujah to Jesus the loudest. I punched a Pharisee in the face, and I still didn't get my healing. I had Kanye West playing on my camel on the way there, and I still didn't see. I didn't get what I was looking for, but praise God, hallelujah, somebody did, you know? And if somebody's happier, I'm happier. Now, I have to imagine that some people left this room disappointed. I would have to imagine that some people left this room overlooked. Some people left this room wondering, why didn't I get what I was looking for? Why didn't I see God move like I wanted him to move? Why didn't God talk to me? Why didn't he even look at me? And I wonder tonight, have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt overlooked? Have you ever felt like, why is it happening in their life and it's not happening in my life? Why did that person see the healing in their life and I didn't see it? Why did they get the promotion and I didn't? I show up to work before they do. I don't cut corners. I'm honest. Why did they get the promotion and I didn't get the promotion? I've been going to CG. I've been lifting my hands at the right time. I've been clapping the right time. I have perfect Sunday attendance. Why did they see the healing when they only come like once a month and I'm there every single day? Why is my son or my daughter the one that is battling? Why is it happening in their life and not happening in my life? And so often we can find ourselves in that spot and we're like, all right, God, you know what? I'm holding up my end of the bargain. I'm not going to point any fingers, but I'm waiting on somebody, you know? You going to move? You going to do anything? And so often when we find ourselves in that situation, we begin to ask the questions. Why? How? Is it something that I'm not doing? Am I doing something wrong? Because I'm in the right place, doing the right thing, and not seeing what I'm believing for. It's like one of those questions when you talk to people, like, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. No, you're not. Calm down. You know, all of us are going to have the exact same reaction when we get to heaven. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and we're going to be on our face, and it's going to be joy, and we're there forever. Like, ever. That's what I lay awake at night in bed thinking. How long is forever? Katie's like, go to bed. I'm like, okay. Katie? No. Man, I'll never forget. This is kind of a silly story in a serious moment. Deal with it. I'll never forget one of the times that I felt overlooked. It was in seventh grade. Now, I do want to tell you this was 18 years ago. And yes, I'm still processing. But you see, I grew up playing soccer. Started playing soccer when I was just a little fella with my older brother and my dad. And I didn't stop playing soccer until I got of the age where you just stop playing organized sports. If you're about 30 to 31, you understand it's about now. But I played soccer my whole life, and I don't like to brag, you know? I'm a pretty humble guy, humblest guy in the world. But I was pretty good at soccer, you know? Like, played in college. It's not a big deal. Like, I don't feel like I needed to say that, but, like, I was honorable mention All-Beach District. Like, it's not a big deal. I scored a goal in the state quarterfinals. It's not important that you know that, but it's important that you know pretty good. And it was seventh grade, and we had tryouts. And our coach, Coach Yates, who was the Spanish teacher, who knew nothing about soccer, but he was a Spanish teacher, so they put two and two together and figured he speaks Spanish. They know more about soccer than Americans. You're the coach. And this is not what I did. This is what happened. And I went to tryouts, and I had all the right gear on. You know, like some kids show up with basketball shorts. They're going to get cut. I had soccer shorts on. I had socks over my shin guards. These are jokes that only soccer players understand. I showed up, and I played well. I'm going to be honest. I played pretty well. I did the drills. I went through it all. It all happened. I was pretty confident. And then the final cuts came. You know where this story is going. And I went up. How they used to do it in the old days is they would just print out names and tape it to the locker room wall. So, like, you got to realize you were cut at the same time as somebody realized they made it, which was great. Seriously, I've processed. Like, it's okay. I'm not going to cry. Don't do it. And I went up to the list, and I looked at the list, and I, you know, started going down, and I didn't see my name. And I was like, well, this could happen. My name is super common. Llewellyn is really prevalent in Great Neck Middle School. So I went down the list again, and my name wasn't on it. I was like, dang. I just got cut. So I was like, Coach Yates. I found him. I was like, Coach Yates, I don't want, like, a pity invite to the team. Like, if you don't want me on the team, that's fine. It's not a big deal. But, like, why did you cut me? And this is what he said to me, honest God truth. He said, Luke, you're actually one of the best players out there. You're one of the most skilled players. You knew how to do everything. But you're just too small. Yeah. Hey. Hey. Not recovering. I don't drive a big truck. It's okay. Someone help me. He said, you're too small. I said, Coach Yates, this isn't football, dude. This is soccer. Doesn't matter. That's not how this works. I don't have to block anybody on the D-line. Like, I just have to kick a ball. Maybe won't win many headers. And I will tell you the honest God truth. I saw Coach Yates 5 years ago at Subway. Yeah. I wasn't 13 anymore, right? 26 years old. And I was like, this is my moment. Moment for what? What am I going to do? Fight him, you know? Who am I? So I did, you know, what every tough dude that was born in Great Neck does. I said, oh, hey, Coach Yates, nice to see you. And he said, Luke, do you remember that goal you scored eighth grade year? I said, no. He said, it is still one of the best soccer goals I've ever seen in my life. I can still replay it in my mind. And I looked at him, I said, Coach Yates, you could have had 2 years of it. And I walked away. And I paid $10 for my $5 footlong. You know what I'm saying? Praise God. It's a stupid story. It's real. It's very real. My mom picked me up and didn't believe that I got cut, and I cried all the way home. It's not a big deal. Whatever. Grew up in the Meadows. It's literally the neighborhood right there. It's tough. It's a stupid story. But I feel like we've all felt like that sometimes. Where we had the right skills, we looked the part, we were on time, we were in the right place, but we didn't see what we were looking for. We didn't get what we wanted. And then we can go down this road where we try to rationalize the situation. Why or why not? What did I or didn't I do? What is wrong with me? What did I miss? Was it something I did in my past that held me back? Did I not have enough faith? Is it because I'm not good enough? And our brain begins to project formulas on the situation. The formula, if I do more, then I'll get more. If I do better, I'll get better. If I just have more faith, then I can see God move more. If I just worship harder, then I can see what I want. And can I be honest? I wish it worked that way. It makes sense. If I just do good, I get good. That makes sense in my brain. If I just try harder, then God will definitely do it. You remember the promise you've made God like 600 times? God, if you just do this one thing, I swear I'll serve you forever. God, if you just get me through this, I'll never sin again. And I wish it worked that way because it just makes sense in my brain, but that's not how any of this works. Salvation is a gift. Relationship with Jesus is free. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We couldn't have done anything to get it, but he freely gave his life for ours. And if Jesus did nothing else, what he did on that cross was more than enough. But here's what can happen. We can get to that spot where we think we can earn more of Jesus. We can earn a healing. We can earn something from him. And if we're not careful, we can get to the spot where it's Jesus, I love you for what you can do for me, not Jesus, I love you for who you are. And can I suggest a potential solution? Now, I'm not claiming to know the answer to one of life's greatest mysteries of why does God heal some people and not others, or why does God show up in some people's lives and not others. I'm not claiming that I know the answer to that riddle. Once again, third usage of Joe Rill's name. Let's see how many times I can put it in my message. But can I just maybe suggest a solution? We must follow the person of Jesus, not the outcomes of Jesus. We can't replace our relationship with Jesus with the results we see in our life. Jesus died so we could have a relationship with him, so we could walk with him, so we could have unmerited access into his life. He didn't die so that he could fit a formula in our lives or so that he could be a genie with three wishes that we can rub and say, please now, and he pops out and it works. And if we are only led by outcomes, only led by what he can do, our expectation will not always match our reality. And when your expectation doesn't match your reality, it often leads to disappointment. And something I've learned in my life, probably the harder way, maybe you won't have to learn it the hard way because you can just maybe write it down tonight. A couple giggles, appreciate. But something I had to learn the hard way is how you deal with your disappointments determines your destiny. How you deal with stuff when it doesn't go your way determines the trajectory of your life. You see, because disappointment unchecked can lead to so many things. Disappointment unchecked can lead to doubts. Does God really love me? Can God really do that? Is God really here? Does he still do that? Disappointment unchecked can lead to compromise. Well, if I did all of that, and I tried hard, and I was on my Bible plan, and I had a streak, not only on Snapchat, but also on my YouVersion app, and he still didn't show up like I wanted him to, a couple of people, the younger generation, that's snap streaks are for you. If I did all that, and he still didn't show up, then I'm just going to ratchet back. I'm not going to do as much. I'm not going to show up as much. I'm not going to try as hard. Or disappointment can lead you to the presence of Jesus. We see in Matthew 11, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Did you know that Jesus is not surprised by your doubts or disappointments? Jesus is not surprised at what you're going through. Your questions, your struggles, your storms, it's not a surprise to him. That's why he says, come to me, all of you who are weary. And I wonder, what have you been fighting on your own? What disappointments have you been fighting by yourself? What doubts have you been fighting by yourself? Because we were never called to do this fight alone. We were never called to walk this life alone. You were never called to walk through that storm alone. You were never called to walk through that situation by yourself. But we can come to Jesus just as we are. You know, in this particular scripture in Matthew 11, he's not talking to somebody that just like won a battle. He's talking to people who've been persecuted. He's talking to people that are making decisions to follow him, and sometimes that would mean that they were disowned by their culture and disowned by their families, and they were kicked out of villages, and they were hated on, and they were possibly put to death because of who they followed. This isn't a speech to people who are crushing, you know? This is a speech to people who are having doubts, who have disappointments, who things aren't going as planned, who their future doesn't look that clear, and I don't know about you, but sometimes that relates to me more than the person that's crushing it. Because about one out of 365 days, I feel like I'm really crushing it, and the other 364, I'm questioning some things. You're like, whoa, a pastor can say that? Yeah. Human. Going through it. Figuring it out. Loving Jesus. You know, could you imagine this as like a halftime speech at like the Super Bowl? You know, like you're down by three. Come on, we're all on a football team. This is basically how big the rosters are, which is ridiculous. 11 people play at a time. Why am I angry about that? I don't know. I guess everyone hates on soccer. I get the microphone and I'm like, no, your sport stinks more. Could you imagine this as like a halftime speech at the Super Bowl? All right, guys, we're down by 3. But you know what? Come to me, all who are weary. You know what I'm saying? The team's like, what? Yeah, hey, guys, no, like, my burden, light. Your burden, heavy. All right, let's go get this, football, you know, like. This verse isn't for people who think they have it all together. This verse is for people who are walking through it. This verse is for people who have some doubts, who have some disappointments, who are trying to figure out, what does life mean? Why does this happen? Why is this like this? He says, come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're hurting. Come to me if you're broken. Come to me if you have questions. Come to me with whatever you have. All your pain, all your doubt, all your hurt. He doesn't reject you, but he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Now you see, rest presumes that there is more to do. You don't rest just to rest. You rest because you have stuff to do. You rest because you're trying to rebuild your energy for the next battle. You rest so that you can re-up to fight your storm. So if you put rest in this verse right in the middle, the first one of the first things he says, I will give you rest. I would assume that means he's not done with your situation yet. You see, we can allow disappointment to hurt us, or we can allow it to push us into his presence. And if you're in the midst of dealing with something, if you're in the midst of fighting a battle that is above your head, if you're in the midst of walking through a situation, let me encourage you, he's not done yet. We can quote in Hebrews 13, he says, never will I leave you or forsake you. If you look at the definition of forsake, that means he's not going to give up. Jesus isn't giving up on you. Just because it doesn't look like you thought it would, just because it isn't happening on the timeline that you had planned it, just because it doesn't make sense now and you don't know which way the miracle is going to come from, that doesn't mean he isn't working. Even though you can't see it, even though you can't feel it, our God is working. And can I encourage you? Believe again. Have faith again. Don't give up on that healing. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. Maybe the story is longer than you wish it was. But don't give up on that healing. Don't give up on that friend. Maybe they laugh at you how often you invite them now. Because you just text them every Sunday. You're like, hey, I'm going to church. You want to come? Nope. Hey, I'm going to church. You want to come? Nope. I have one of those friends. I told him I'm going to slide in his DMs every single day till he hangs out with me. It's been a month. But don't give up on that friend. Don't give up on that son or that daughter. Don't give up on seeing that depression or anxiety leave. Don't give up on what you're believing for. Don't give up on that dream. Maybe you've had some setbacks. Maybe somebody jumped in front of you. Maybe someone cut in line like that guy getting lowered on the mat. Maybe something's happened. Don't give up on that dream. If God will never leave you or forsake you, that means he's not done yet. And if he's not done yet, we can't give up yet. Pursue Jesus again. Pray again. Worship again. Get around people that encourage you again. I can't say it enough, young adults. Go again. You know, what if I got this whole story wrong? What if I got this whole opening story wrong in Matthew or Luke 5? What if everybody really did leave in awe? You know, you like how I like joined you in that, like to make you feel bad about getting it wrong too? Like, what if we got it wrong together because you helped me write this? What if everyone really did leave in awe? What if everyone really did leave happy? What if everyone really did leave praising God because they had been in the presence of Jesus? What if his presence really is enough? What if what we're looking for isn't actually what we're looking for? What if what we're looking for is more of Jesus? We're not looking for the outcomes, we're looking for the source. What if what we need in our lives isn't that miracle? What if it isn't that breakthrough? What if it isn't that promotion? What if it isn't that thing? What if it isn't that boyfriend or girlfriend? What if it isn't that husband or wife? What if it's more Jesus? And I love what C.S. Lewis says. A wise man once told me, always quote someone smarter than you. No one ever told me that, but I'd like to say that. I love what C.S. Lewis says. He says, aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Can I suggest that running to Jesus is always the answer? That his presence really is all we need? That God is our portion? That Jesus is our peace? That Jesus is our healer? That Jesus is our breakthrough? That Jesus is our Savior? That he is the joy that we've been looking for? Can I suggest that running to Jesus is always the answer? Can I suggest that we must never forget what Jesus did on that cross? When he got up on that cross and he died for you and he died for me, and then he rose 3 days later, defeating death, defeating shame, defeating the grave, and breaking the divide between us and heaven, so that we can be in this room and we can come boldly into his presence. We don't have to wonder, oh God, can I maybe tell you about my doubts? Can I maybe tell you about what I've been going through? Can I maybe tell you about how I have some questions about why you did this? But no, we can come boldly and say, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm dealing with. You know, it's not about how God sees you. I'll do a pause for everyone to be confused for just a second. It's not about how God sees you. It's about how you think he sees you. Because we see Jesus through our perception. So it's not enough for me to tell you, hey, God sees you as a child of God. Hey, God sees you as a conqueror. Hey, God sees you as the head, not the tail. Hey, God sees you as an agent of change. Hey, God sees you as the one he loves. Hey, God sees you. It's not enough for me just to say that. You have to start to believe it. Because when you begin to believe, oh, well, God sees me as this, that's when it begins to change the course of your life. Ben, you can come on up. But I want to leave you with this thought. And if you get nothing else out of this message, just take this. If you've been sleeping for all 20-something minutes, wake up now, nudge your neighbor, you can take this home. Jesus welcomes you no matter where you've been. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been said about you or what you've said about other people, no matter the mistakes, no matter the sin, no matter the brokenness, no matter the doubt, Jesus welcomes you just as you are. Young adults, do you know how much he loves you? Do you know what he went through for you? Do you know that he forgave you? Do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he has a plan and a purpose for your life? Do you know that you don't have to live in the doubt and disappointment, but you can move into his presence and live free and live whole and live as an overcomer? Do you know that you don't have to walk through this life by yourself? You don't have to do this alone, but there's a God in heaven that is praying for you right now. There's a God in heaven who is waiting for you, who believes in you, who loves you, not just kind of loves you, like loves you on Sunday and doesn't love you the rest of the week, but outrageously loves you. gave everything just so that you might, maybe, hopefully, accept it. And you know, all you have to do in response to accept this love is say yes. All you have to do to accept this love, it says in Romans 10:9, is believe in your heart and confess. And right there, you don't have to go through like a 7-step program and memorize a particular amount of verses. You don't have to try to get your life right. You don't have to try to behave right. You don't have to try to speak right. You don't have to know when to clap or to lift your hands. But just as you are, you can come into a relationship with Jesus. Just as you are, you can start a new life with him. Just as you are, Jesus can change everything. And tonight I want to give you that opportunity. The most important part of this service. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that you know that you know that you are walking with him? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know that he can forgive you? Do you know that he has a life for you? Do you? Because I want to give you that opportunity to know. I want to give you that opportunity to make a decision tonight to say, Jesus, I want to start a new life with you. Maybe you've never made that decision. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Or maybe you're in here and you have said yes to Jesus before. But through a series of events, through doubts, through disappointments, through life, you've walked away. You've let something get between you and him. And if you're going to be honest tonight, you're saying, man, I'm not walking with him. Can I pray for you? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes all across this auditorium? And can I invite you to make a decision for Jesus tonight? Can I invite you to make the best decision you could ever make in your entire life? So what I'm going to do is I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you want to make that decision to start a new life with Jesus, maybe it's for the first time or maybe it's you coming home. If you want to make that decision to follow Jesus, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it when I get to three. Just so I can pray with you and I can pray for you. One, Jesus loves you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed. He's not upset. He loves you. Two, there is no better time than to make decision than tonight, December 1st, 2019. Three, if that's you in this place, just lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it so I can pray with you and I can pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands over there. That's awesome. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. That's awesome. That's awesome. I see that hand. I see that hand. That's awesome. If that's you in this place and you're saying, yep, I want to make that decision. Yep, Jesus, I want to decide again to start a life with you. I'm going to wait just a couple more seconds. I see those hands there. I'm just going to wait a couple more moments. If that's you in this place and you're saying, yep, I want to start fresh with Jesus. God, I want to invite you into my life. I want you to invade every single area of my life. A few more moments. That's awesome. I see that hand. Every single person, you can put your hands down and you can look up at me. This is the best decision you could ever make. And just like I started my message and talked about the importance of friends and the importance of surrounding yourself with people, that starts today. You need to get the right group around you. You have leaders standing all around you, and we're going to pray with you in just a second, but if you do not get the right friends around you and the right friends in your life and the right voices into your life, can I just be very blunt? You won't make it. But if you get the right voices in your life that remind you what God says about you, remind you that you are called, remind you that he died for you, remind you that you are worth living for, then you'll see God do great things in your life. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. So if you're down front and you're making this decision, can you just put a hand over your heart? And young adults, can we stretch our hands forward? And can you repeat this prayer after me? Say, Jesus, tonight, I choose to follow you. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that you now live in me, that I am made brand new. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.